Set your course for the Hoth system. General Veers, prepare your men.
All troops will debark for ground assault. Prepare to target the main generator.
Echo Station 3TA.
On an Imperial Walker.
Attack pattern Delta. Go now. Watch that crossfire, boys. Right now, I feel like I could take on the whole Empire myself.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the bay.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Echo Base. This is episode number 122. We're recording this on November 27th, 2017, and I think we are about 18 days away from The Last Jedi. So 17 or 18, depending how you count and how you, which episode you're, which
I'm
you're
not
seeing
ready yet. That's not enough time. I don't have any decorations up or anything.
You don't?
No, but I need more time. I don't have any shopping done.
It's a different holiday.
Oh, that's a different. Oh, okay.
No, you guys are thinking of Christmas. I'm thinking of The Last Jedi. You guys don't decorate or buy people presents? I've been buying stuff.
I've been getting stuff going on. Hallmark's been sending me stuff that I pre-ordered a while ago. I'm still waiting for my Princess Leia 4-pack of enamel pins because that hasn't released yet.
Excellent.
They're coming. I just emailed them today. So
I only decorate for International Talk Like Jar Jar Binks Day.
That was already came and went. So
you
got to get ready for next year.
You at least do your winter Star Wars movie shopping, though, right?
Oh, sure.
Okay, good. I was going to say,
we talked before about how there has been a lot of Star Wars licensed products out this time, like, no apples and stuff. But I did see a Naroko has a razor.
Yes.
I'm like, really? If I use an electric razor, I'd probably buy that, but I don't, so I won't.
Nissan released another car, didn't they?
Yep.
Yeah.
No, they're just using the ad. It's not a Star Wars, it's a Rogue, is it?
I thought it was another new model.
Oh.
I think it's just the updated Rogue. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's not a Star Wars edition Rogue, right? Like the last one was.
Correct. Yeah.
They're just using the tie. Yeah, I was hoping it was. I was like, oh. But then.
Yeah, I think it's just mutual promotion with Lucasfilm. That's all.
Okay. Yeah, I do like hearing the
car
sounds.
Star Wars.
Yeah, it works. Well, since we already blew the introduction, the voices you hear with me tonight are Tim and Eric, as usual. How are you guys?
Good. Well, go ahead.
Can we talk about Avengers 4?
No. This is not that podcast.
You know, if only we had a new discussion podcast to talk about that kind of stuff.
I know. We should have one of those.
Well, if Tim would get off the road.
Yeah.
Tim, stop playing the road.
Settle in for a few weeks. I know.
And I'm getting sick. This is my last trip for the year, though.
Well, that's good.
You have to, prepare for, the winters here at Echo Base with, vitamin C, plenty of sleep.
I've been taking it.
But obviously it's not working. You're getting sick.
No. Well, some things are unavoidable. Some things are just unavoidable.
Like the juggernaut that The Last Jedi is going to be in the movie draft.
The great thing is that in a few weeks, in fact, the day of the official release of The Last Jedi, I am going to be getting a long-awaited surgery, nothing major. And so probably we'll get to record an episode or two of things with me on an assortment of narcotics.
Awesome. It'll be like the movie draft all over again.
Oh, good time. Boy.
So I'm not in charge of that one. Really, really goofy, or I'll just fall asleep like Lou does.
Hey, you can't prove that.
Well, as long as you can talk in your sleep like Lou normally does on the podcast, you'll be all right.
Hey, it works for me.
But in the meantime, let's talk about Avengers 4.
No, let's get right into the news. No, we're not. This is Star Wars.
Oh,
man, it's like herding cats around here.
Why would you want to hurt a cat? Cats
have hurt. Herding cats.
Hey, did you hear what Chewbacca did to the Porg in the new TV spot?
Oh, yeah. I'm not watching the TV spots.
Okay. Violence. He did violence.
He did Porg violence.
I hope he eats one.
That's a new Tim thing now, Porg violence.
Yeah.
Is this not safe for a podcast anymore?
It's not safe for Porgs.
No.
NSFP.
NSFP, not safe for porgs. There you go. Oh, I don't even know how to transition to this news, so I'm just going to go right into it.
That's probably you guys the title, by the way, rails. Of the episode.
Yeah, no, we tried to sabotage it as best we could.
Or pork violence.
Well, just, that'll be a title for this show. I'm going to type that in here so I don't.
Yeah. This whole episode is shot already.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Isn't it?
It is. We are off the rails, and it's just going to get worse from here. So let's go on to, there was a news item that Eric found in here that I really loved reading this and watching the video. HBO does a series called They Have Too Many Stars, and they do it twice a year, and it's a charity fundraiser.
No, they do it every other year. Autism.
Oh, I'm sorry. I read that wrong.
Biannual.
So raising money for kids with autism, and they auctioned off a bunch of stuff. And one of the things they did in this one was they brought out J.J. Abrams.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going to auction off the plot to episode 9.
Yes. Not 8.
No. Yeah, right. Not the one we're going to get in 17 days, but the one we're going to get in 2 years.
Right.
So the bidding started at 1,000, I think it was, and it quickly went up to, I don't know, 6 or 7,000. And then, and I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, but Rob Corddry? Corddry?
I think that's correct. Yeah, he's been in a bunch of stuff, The Office, Children's Hospital, Hot Tub Time Machine. Yeah.
So he decided to sweeten the pot and say he will help the bidding get even higher by giving away the plot line, the ending, to Hot Tub Time Machine 3. So he's in whisper in one ear, JJ will whisper in the other ear of the person that wins this bidding.
Now, it's important to note, Hot Tub Time Machine 3 not only is not currently in development, there's also not really even a script. It's not been greenlit. There's no reason to believe it's going to happen, but...
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a real thing, but, you know, hey.
Yeah. And, he admitted that,
This was just a way to kind of, I don't know, make it harder for the person to understand the plotline for episode 9.
After this poor kid had to sign a non-disclosure disagreement.
Well, he bid up higher after this, so he knew what the scenario was going to be.
Yeah.
Getting both of these things at once, which, okay, fine.
Well, he didn't know. I think it was going to be simultaneous, though.
Yeah, it's true, I guess. I didn't really say that. So the bidding went up to $10,000. The gentleman that won this winner for $10,000, which is awesome for charity.
Yes.
They bring him up on stage, and they've got JJ on one side and Rob on the other side, and they both start whispering in his ear. And the first thing I noticed with the video was, Rob is really close to the kid's left ear. And JJ was kind of far away from his right ear. So I'm like, okay, he's going to hear that more and less. I'd be leaning towards JJ if I could, but he just kind of stood there. And as this went on for a little bit, out comes Gilbert Gottfried. Who has the annoying voice to begin with. And he decides to even do better than this and up the ante even more and give away the plot to Sharknado 5, which had come out a few months ago.
Last year, wasn't it? Oh, no, it was August.
I thought it was this year. I thought, this past August. And he said, well, it's still a spoiler because nobody really watched that. So he got that point across. And they agreed, and this proceeded to happen with the two guys whispering in the kid's ears, and JJ talking on Gilbert talking on his mic, really loud, and the kid just got this dazed look in his eyes, like, "What did I just pay for?"
Yeah, it's funny too because you could tell this guy's kind of like he's focused. It's like, I'm gonna ignore everything coming in from my left ear and only pay attention to the stuff in my right ear, even though the guy in my left ear is closer. And then when Gilbert Gottfried comes out on the stage, this guy's just thinking, oh, crap.
Yeah. But his reactions were kind of bland. I thought maybe he was just like going, okay, I don't know what I really just did here, but.
Well, John Stewart even commented when they brought him up on stage that he looked like he was stoned or something.
Yeah. He said, as I see, you're high and you're still high functioning.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, if it was something that, if the guy walked away after giving $10,000 to a charity and didn't get to hear what the basic plot for episode 9 was, that's kind of a little bit disappointing because, I mean, I kind of feel like the money's going toward a great charity.
Right.
I'm all in support of it. This is, again, a Night of Too Many Stars. It's an HBO special. If you have HBO Go or HBO Now, you can still stream it. I highly recommend people check out the charity. I have autism. My son has autism. This is kind of near and dear to me. But to then make that kind of donation thinking that, you know, you just bid on an auction for an item and then the item becomes basically useless.
Yeah.
And you bid $10,000. I'd be a little bit pissed off.
Well, I mean, obviously the guy has the money. It wasn't like he was scraping together $10,000 to give away to charity to do this. I'm sure it was something he was, you know, planning on donating of that level, I guess, at some point. You know, nobody, I don't think anybody goes into that kind of thing with an unplanned thought of, I'm going to spend $10,000. So whether or not he got what he wanted to get, I don't know. I mean, that's another story, but I'm not too surprised it didn't go down differently because, I mean, they're not going to give this away, really. I mean, if one guy knows what the pawn is, it's going to be out there.
Here's the thing. First of all, he did have to sign a non-disclosure agreement.
Right.
And that's not totally a useless thing. I mean, that's legally binding. Second, he can say, you know, Finn flies an X-Wing into this hangar, and then as he is exiting the X-Wing, he gets attacked by the Hamburglar. I mean, he can say anything he wants. It doesn't mean that people are necessarily going to believe him. And so even if he gives the truth, how do you know that that's actually what was said? So it's kind of, I mean, it's one guy. You don't know that you can trust what he would claim to have heard.
And even so, I mean, even if
and even it's going to change
this bid, that's what I was going to get to. Is that even if he won this, and the winning was sitting down with JJ over a cup of coffee and getting 15 minutes about the movie, that's not going to be what the movie is 2 years from now because there's going to be reshoots, there's rewrites, there's, you know, who knows what's going to happen. So
there'll be individual milestones that'll be hit, and I'm sure those will be interesting, but they're also going to be the kind of thing that we're going to find out through the marketing stuff anyway. I mean, I can give you some of the milestones from episode 8 without knowing spoilers, just based on the marketing and the information that's been given out. So, and I mean, keep in mind for episode 7 for The Force Awakens, Poe was supposed to have died and didn't. So that was a last minute change. In A New Hope, Luke Starkiller became Luke Skywalker after the 4th draft. And if you look at the 1st and the 2nd draft, and even the 3rd, but especially the 1st and 2nd, entirely different movie. Like, radically different. So, you know, I don't know. I would still be a little pissed off if I paid for this, and then I've got another guy whispering more loudly in my one ear and Gilbert Godfrey standing in front of me screaming.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, he donated, he had fun, he had his moment,
he'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if nothing else, I mean, that's the thing. He's kind of got bragging rights for...
That's true. Now, Tim, you've been very quiet. Are you the guy that did this? Are you just trying not to own up to it? I mean, I...
Because if so, you can tell us.
No, I mean, I don't have that much of an opinion of it. I don't think the guy is hugely disappointed. I'm sure this was... I mean, a lot of times when they do, you know, higher profile things like this, there's a certain aspect of it that it's kind of stunty and gimmicky. And I'm sure he knew that going into this. So it's just kind of a thing that you do. And like Eric said, it was a cause that the guy was probably going to donate to anyway. So, you know, he did his thing and that's that. I mean, it is kind of a bummer that he probably didn't comprehend too much of what JJ told him. But even if he did, you know, he signed the NDA, he can't tell the world, you know, he probably heard 3 words of the whole thing. One of them was unfortunately probably Porg. And he was actually really just thinking about what happens in Avengers 4.
And you know, if he only did hear 3 or 4 words, that's 3 or 4 words more than we know. So,
you know how, when you're a kid and your family pet, hits retirement age and your parents take the pet out to like a farm somewhere so that they can run around all day and lay out in the sun and
yeah, like, you know,
chase
like
rabbits or whatever.
Like Little Skipper did. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right. Exactly. So here's my version of like the dog going out to the farm to retire and have a wonderful rest of his life. My happy ending for this is, I mean, there's always after parties for these things. So, and they've got to get the money from the guy. I mean, the guy's got to write a check or a money order or something. So there's got to be something like after the show is done where people go and actually pay and make the donation. So I'm sure that, you know, backstage somewhere he got to have his photo taken with JJ, and, you know, there's probably some rubbing elbows and blah, 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 for, you know, for whoever donated to whatever live there in the theater. I'm sure there's some sort of a meet and greet afterwards, and I'm sure that he got something out of it. So, and if not, I'm sure he got a photo and an autograph and still had a good time. So,
yeah, you know, you're probably right, because what actually happened on stage may not have, you know, he may have actually gotten what he paid for. And I would have just gotten JJ ass drunk.
Spill everything.
Get him to just spew everything about the
movie. I don't care
about
him telling us about episode 9. Oh, yeah. I want to know the dirt on episode 7.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I want to get him drunk for. Stuff.
Tell me about the making of the movies.
What really happened?
You don't have a flash drive with you with some video on it, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Yeah.
Okay, so we have some more Battlefront 2 news. Oh, or, words we can't really say on the podcast. and Tim, this is kind of near and dear to your heart, too. We really can't do an episode without having a change.org petition being mentioned. I'm sorry, Tim. I really
You know, we used to have... No, hold on a second. Right? I'm actually going to get a soundboard with a bleeping button here. But... On Random Chatter, we had a What Were They Thinking segment, and finally it kind of became known as the Kanye segment. Now, fortunately, Kanye is retired, and he's off in a farm somewhere chasing rabbits and laying in the sun and all that, but I'm kind of thinking we need to have like a change.org segment.
Not doing publicly stupid things.
Yeah.
Like third week in a row.
Exactly. So the gist of this one is people are petitioning Lucasfilm to revoke EA's license for doing Star Wars games. Which again is ludicrous. I mean, you can't just petition them to it's a contract. I mean, this is how they do things. They didn't just do this without any contract behind it. So, but I guess the fans' hearts are in the right place. 19,000 people have signed this to say, you know, we'd like them to revoke this license and have somebody else do the games.
I'm pretty sure that there is a change.org contract cancellation clause. That said, if there's a change.org petition going around, that their contract is immediately null and void. There's not, you freaking idiots who are doing this change.org crap. Stop it. Stop right now. You should be ashamed of yourselves.
Yes, I'm impressed.
They should be.
That was thoroughly brief and concise and very to the point. I mean, there's not much more to say. Just stop.
Stop. Yeah, exactly.
Here's the thing, though. You're right, Lou, that there is definitely a contract. And, I mean... You're right, too, Tim. Petition is not going to change that contract. The contract is the contract. But at some point, that contract is going to be over. And it'll be up for renewal. And I have to say that this whole situation, and as livid as this many fans have been about it, this might actually get Lucasfilm and or Disney, whoever it is that's in charge of this, to reconsider whether they renew the contract. I mean, EA is easily one of the biggest game distributors out there, and they're doing okay with the Old Republic. I mean, it doesn't have the numbers it once did, but then no MMORPG does, and the Old Republic's a pretty decent game.
Mm-hmm.
But
you know, I mean, there's no need for this kind of petition. I mean, vote with your dollars.
No. Yeah,
don't buy it. That will speak louder than any petition will.
And again, change.org to me, I mean, maybe they've kind of changed their mission statement or something, but I agree with Tim. They're really not supposed to be for this sort of thing.
No, exactly. No. Yeah, and for whatever you want to say about this, I mean, the guy who started this petition, his comment in this article from Game Rant was, they honestly don't care about the gameplay experience or content. And that's what he's seen over the last 4 years of this contract with EA. And he goes on, it wasn't a quote, but they go on to say something about the fact that they're just milking money out of the people and, you know, and they care more about profits than anything else. I'm like, well, that's what a company can be socially responsible and want to do the right thing for the consumer. But at the same time, they're supposed to be maximizing profits. I mean, we want companies like EA to succeed, to make money, so they can make us more games. If they fall on their face and don't make money, they won't be around anymore. It may be in EA's case, that's not a bad thing, but you can't expect to have games that we all want to play if the company is not making money doing it.
I mean, right, but there's a line
last week too.
There's a line there, though. I mean, there are other game companies that are not voted multiple years in a row the worst company in America. I'm not kidding.
Right.
Okay. And there are other companies who are profiting off of their games, and yet those companies do not have all of their employees pissed off all the time and complaining about the work conditions while also simultaneously pissing off almost their entire demographic as well. So you're right. They absolutely do have to make money, but and yet they still.
Well, and yet they still make games that people buy. I mean, if they're that vilified and that miserable, why are we still buying their games?
Because they have succeeded in tapping into what makes people buy games, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they are making good games. So I understand this guy's argument, and I don't want to see change.org become what it's become, and I don't think that this is the right way to handle it, and it's not going to change the fact that there's a contract. There's a whole slew of problems with this, but at the end of the day, EA is about making as much money as they can make and the product be damned. And that doesn't necessarily need to be your business model. Other people have successful business models that rely on making good products, having good customer service. And it's right. just.
But yeah, I keep coming back to the point of if they're doing this and we know they're doing this and we hate what they're doing, and you bought, you know, game A and we hate this because of what they've done, and game B coming out a year from now is doing the same thing, why are we buying game B?
A lot of people aren't. I mean, keep in mind, the look at the statistics that we talked about last week on how many fewer copies of Battlefront 2 sold than Battlefront 1. And there are a lot of people, I mean, we didn't see these kinds of petitions and complaints about Battlefront 1. And a lot of people only pre-ordered Battlefront 2 because the reviews indicated that the single-player campaign was good and an improvement over what we got before, and there was going to be DLC content. So everything that was a big complaint the first time around seemed to get fixed, so it seemed to be okay to buy it now. So I think it was as much about the marketing. Look how many movies people go out to see on opening weekend, and then they crash to the bottom in the following weekend because the movie was horrible, but they did such a good job marketing it, and they got people in the seats. It's the same sort of thing.
Yeah, to an extent. I mean, you're to right. The movie is different, but you know, a game, if you know the gameplay is similar, and I mean, like, you know, I held off on buying Battlefront 2 because I wanted to wait until it was out and see what the reviews were, and now I'm not going to buy it. So, you know, I am voting with my dollars, and I think that's the way to do this, is to, you know, not give EA your money if you don't want them to have this contract down the road, because they won't be able to afford it. It won't make them any money.
You're absolutely correct. The way to affect change here is to vote with your dollars. I just want to point out that, I mean, I know that I have purchased a lot of video games in my time and played it for a day or two and said, this is crap, and then stopped playing it. But my money was already spent, and the video game industry generally doesn't let you return video games for piracy reasons, or at least it used to be. And so you're kind of in one of those positions where you don't really know what you're buying until you get it home. So, you know, you're right. Why do people keep buying this stuff if it's going to be crap? But if we keep getting lied to or misled about what the product is, or, you know, misdirected away from the problems until we're then faced with the problems, then, you know, there's another side of it too. But either way, at the end of the day, you're absolutely right. I mean, vote with your money.
Right. You know, Eric, you put this note in here. I didn't actually get to read this part of the article. You said the players created the robot to farm credits in the game?
No, that was in another article. Yeah, somebody actually programmed it, not software, but like a robot to, he would log into the game and set this robot up and walk away. So the robot, from what I could tell in the article, the robot basically moves around and stays active enough so that I guess the other players assume that the robot is drunk or doesn't know how to play the game. Like, you know, hey, what's this idiot doing?
Yeah.
So because the credits are earned based on time and not by skill.
Interesting.
It's basically farming credits for him.
Okay. Well, that works, so, I suppose.
EA is going to stick it to the players. I guess this is the player sticking it to EA.
Yeah. Okay, some updates on episode 8.
All right.
Is, you know, Tim, this is Marvel news for you. Well, Marvel adjacent, right? Because
Wookiee,
you
know, on Porg violence. That's what Tim wants to hear.
Rian Johnson has confirmed that Lando will not appear in the movie.
Also, spoiler. Yeah.
That's not really a spoiler.
No, not really. I don't
say something is not going to be. You know, it's like, you know,
I mean,
no, I but a lot of that people either. Kind of thought that he might be. You know, bringing back the old gang and all that. I think a lot of people expected to probably see Lando in the second film. So,
well, if they're doing a copy of Empire Strikes Back, you'd have to, because he showed up in a second movie there.
Right.
You know, so.
And we all know that the sequels are just ripoffs just, of the original.
Exactly.
Trilogy.
It's going to be a bookend. It's going to be a mirror image of what.
Right.
Let's see. Yeah, he's not in the film. It was never something that came up. I mean, he loves the character, is what Rian Johnson said, but. Didn't see a way to put him into the story, so I'm okay with that.
Can't wait to see Jabba
all shriveled up and dehydrated
corpse.
And,
yeah,
yeah, basically just a husk.
Let's see. Episode 8 will be the longest film so far at 150 minutes, 2.5 hours of Star Wars goodness. I can't wait. Episode
bring a bottle.
Two, just don't drink all day.
No, what they're not telling you though is that the last 30 minutes of that's all credits.
There you go.
Well, you know, see, this is why I'm glad I'm not doing what I did for The Force Awakens, where we were there in line kind of most of the day, and I got that large soda to get the refills all day. So I didn't have to worry about that this time. So, episode 2 was 142 minutes. Episode 3 was 140. Episode 1 and Rogue One were both 133. So, you know, not too much longer, but enough. Yeah. You know, I'm glad it's over 2 hours, unlike... other movies that come out recently that we won't mention, Justice League, that were short. Let's see here. People speculating that something mentioned in Battlefront 2 single player campaign mode might spoil something important in episode 8.
Yeah, really good reason not to play. I didn't want to put anything in there for you, Lou, because I knew you want to stay spoiler free.
I do. I am.
I did catch what the information is, and it. Oh, boy. And it's dangerous to even talk around it. That's the problem. It would be considered a major spoiler, like a major, gosh, you're no longer my friend type of spoiler. Yeah.
So it's kind of funny how they would do that in a game, though, that is being released before the movie that you know is going to be finished before the movie. Why would they do that?
It doesn't actually.
The spoiler is that Lando actually is in the movie.
Oh, now I got to edit this out again. Dang it, Tim. You did so good not swearing about the change.org thing, and now I still have to go make edits. Jeez.
Yeah.
No, it's...
Wait. What they don't tell you is that Lando is actually Snoke.
Oh, there you go.
Lando is actually Jar Jar as Snoke.
And Rey's dead.
They didn't actually spell it out in the game. But enough people drew the same conclusion that it got a lot of conversations online going, and it looks like it's a really, 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 really solid theory that looks like it's more than a theory.
I am
another Death Star.
I'm still surprised you would do something like that. I mean, what you know. Fans are going to figure this kind of thing out. You know, they look into every little pixel we get out there.
Well, here's the worst part. There's DLC content that's scheduled. For the spring, or not even the spring, I think late winter, like January or February or something. So put that part of it in the DLC content. Don't put it in the main game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, and that's assuming that these theories are correct and that this is, you know, again, it's hard to even talk around it.
Yeah, but even theories that are close to the truth will still get you thinking in different directions. And then it's not as impactful when you see it on the screen.
Right.
So I will definitely stay away from this kind of stuff, personally.
Another reason to boycott EA and not play Battlefront 2.
Well, and the other question here is that were the developers given plot lines to The Last Jedi?
I
I mean, is there any reason why they would have been given plot lines?
I can't even respond to that because that would involve me talking around it just enough that it might cause some people to figure out what it is that I'm talking about, like what topic. And I don't even want to tell you what it's related to. But that's a good, that's a really good question. But in answering that question, it could reveal what the topic is.
Okay.
Well, we will have to revisit this after The Last Jedi comes out because I'd like to know your thoughts and discuss this whole thing about who should be getting this kind of stuff before the movie comes out.
It'll be overpowered by the actual content, and I imagine people will not even remember that this came up. And if they do, I think it'll be kind of frittered away. What's really going to matter is people sitting in the theater and saying, "Oh, well, you know, yeah."
Right. Right. Okay. So. Well, good to know, and just be aware that they're out there. Yeah. So we're getting into the time of year or the time before the movie release when we're getting a lot of news articles, we're getting a lot of magazine stories, we're getting a lot of, I think Daisy Ridley is on Tonight Show this week, maybe even tonight.
Oh, I forgot to put that in the show notes. I think it's,
I know think it's that might week. Be tonight.
She's on Jimmy Kimmel, I think the, like half of the cast is on Jimmy Kimmel on Friday.
Oh, nice, nice. Because Jimmy Kimmel's on ABC, right?
I think, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we're sort of getting that. We're getting Entertainment Weekly has a section out this week. Empire is doing an episode soon on subscriber-only cover. Is all porgs.
Yes.
The but new there's Stan a copy will have Stormtroopers. Yeah, so yeah, for the rest there's... of us.
Listen, the porg cover looks really good. It legitimately looks pretty good.
I just want the porgs to be a non-issue. Come on, let's just...
Listen, all indicators are that in the movie itself, the porgs are a non-issue. They're not Jar Jar. They're not some... Like, they're not main characters. They're secondary background things. They're throwaway items.
Right. They should be.
Yeah. So, you know, don't worry about
it. Everyone's going crazy over
Yeah, exactly, which bothers me.
Far less significant than Jar Jar was. Far less significant than the Ewoks. This I'm trying to think of what this would be. I mean, it sounds like the Eopies from episode one might have more screen time than these guys do.
Good.
I mean, everyone can like what they like. That's cool. I think porgs are silly.
I just don't understand why it's taken so much. It's taken over stuff.
They're cute and they can market it to kids and to people who like cute little animals. It's totally a marketing thing. I mean, it's, you know, I'm sure there are people working on the movie that are like, what the hell? These guys are barely in this thing. How is this all over the place? But it's just the marketing.
Okay, so we talked about this next piece a bit after we get back from New York Comic Con because, we got a little, not a teaser, but we got to have firsthand information about it then. The next Thrawn novel from Zahn, Thrawn Alliances, which will be
a topic worth talking about.
Which is a buddy book between Vader and the blue guy.
This is a prelude to the new trilogy.
To Tim's new Star Wars trilogy.
That's the buddy movie with Vader Thrawn and Ahsoka.
And Ahsoka. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I cannot confirm or deny if Lucasfilm has called me. Just saying. I'm just throwing it out there. I cannot confirm or deny.
You don't
want
to break any NDAs, so I'm glad you're being careful about that.
No, I can't say a word about that.
So Making Star Wars has a cover shot of what the movie's I keep saying, I want it to be a movie, but it's a book. of Thrawn and Vader together on the cover. It looks awesome. And Zahn mentioned this at Comic-Con that he had the manuscript done. So,
yeah.
That was like, oh, and then he said it's going to be out, mid next year. And now we're finding out it's June. I'm like, well, he's got it done. Why don't you release it in January? Come on, give me something to read.
I'm a little worried about this.
Why are you worried about this? It's Zahn.
I know.
And it's got Thrawn.
And it's Thrawn. I know. And it's Vader. And here's the thing. I've yet to find any story about Vader that I've really felt like connected to the Vader character. Like growing up, Vader, like we've said before, he's like the ultimate evil in all of pop culture. I kind of feel like the prequels changed how I look at Vader in the original trilogy. He's too sympathetic. And a lot of the stories, whether it be the comics or the novels or whatever, he's there, but the only insight we get, there's no character development. He is what he is. He doesn't progress. He doesn't, you know, recede. He's just, he's there. And he takes actions and that's it. There's nothing about what's going on, you know, the psychology of him other than just different takes on trying to explain how full of hatred he is.
Yeah.
And I get it's kind of like watching the most recent Dredd movie. It's not really like you don't really connect with Dredd as the primary character. You connect with his partner and you can relate to her. And you're kind of following the movie through her eyes, but then the Judge Dredd character is just kind of this force of nature that doesn't really have any character. And I feel like a lot of the Vader stuff doesn't have any character. Now, if anybody can pull it off, it's Zahn. And I'm looking forward to the book. I guess I have to say when I heard that it was Thrawn and Vader teaming up, I was a little bit let down.
Really?
A little bit.
See, I was actually more excited about this when I heard about it because of the comics. I've really enjoyed the Vader comics. I think they've really, you know, given me a different side of Vader.
I don't know.
From the movies.
I guess I'm not caught up on them. But like for me, the highlights of the Vader comics have been General Tag, Aphra, the droids. Again, it's all the people surrounding Vader, but it's not Vader himself. Okay.
I guess I can see that, but it's given me a better insight to him, I think, which is what they're trying to show, I guess. So
right.
It's worked for me. And yet, you watch the original trilogy, and everything we've learned about Vader doesn't take away from his... I guess the way he carries himself, you know, the way he just kind of owns the scene without doing much. It's still powerful to me. It's still menacing. It's powerful. It's who is this guy that walks in the room and just commands it? You know, it's like, wow.
We should probably set aside an episode somewhere to talk a little bit more about that, because I guess to me, he's menacing, but it's almost more like he's a bully than he is a like an actual. I don't want to say an actual threat because he is an actual threat, but like. I don't know. I guess he's become too sympathetic.
Okay.
I just think if there's any doubt about Vader and his sheer power and the terror that he can have, that late scene in Rogue One pretty much says it all.
Best Vader scene ever.
Yeah.
It absolutely is. Yep. I mean,
other than the redemption at the end of Return of the Jedi, you know, character wise, maybe not, but like, as far as the presence you guys are talking about, hell yeah. I mean, that was it. That was the best scene ever.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was like grinning ear to ear, and I was absolutely terrified while I was watching that scene at the same time.
Yeah.
It was just, it was absolutely incredible. And I loved the whole damn movie. Mm-hmm. But that scene of it was just wow. And I did not expect it.
It was like a bow on top of everything else. It really was.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, not to change the subject entirely, and Eric, you're going to have to just kind of hum to yourself for a second here because it's about sports. No, Tim, I don't know if you saw this in the highlights of, I think it was last week, the Star Wars celebration, end zone celebration.
No, it's a soccer game. I heard about it, but I did not see it.
Eric, hum to yourself, yeah. Eric.
No, I keep up with sports. Here in the U.S., they call it soccer, right?
No.
Eric, go to your quiet.
Yes. Somebody get Eric a beverage. The NFL has allowed celebrations in the end zone again now for the first time in, I don't know how long it's been, 10, 15 years. And everybody.
To a small extent.
Yeah. teams have been scripting out things they do. And this one team, I don't even know what team it was, did a lightsaber fight followed by somebody with a force choke and throwing a guy away. I was like, that was really good. I like that.
That's pretty awesome. So
that was a fun.
Wait a minute. Okay,
Vader
so let me.
Moment.
I just real quick. I want to make sure I understand sports here. So, this football / soccer thing, it's people on this field, and they throw the ball back and forth, and they slam into each other. They try to make progress down the field, and if they get to the other end of the field, they get to put on like a Broadway production or something? Like, is that the goal of that's what you get if you win?
Yeah, exactly. It's a celebration. You know, they used to be spiking the ball, used to be giving high fives, and it was, you know, back in the '80s when the Bears? Weren't they one teams doing huge celebrations? And that was one of the things that kind of cut this down because it was taking time away from the game. Oh, yeah. It was delaying the game and everything else. But yeah, there's teams doing pretty elaborate things these days.
Yeah. I don't want anything that's going to delay the game anymore. Cause every time I set something up on my DVR to record and there's a football game in front of it, I get like 5 minutes of the show. So nothing that's going to make the games last any longer.
We should have had this discussion on an episode Eric wasn't on, Tim.
No, I just I don't. Okay, and so like with the soccer thing, why is it that if you know it's an international thing, so why don't we have other countries in our Super Bowl too? Like we should, if it's we'll discuss it on a different show. It's fine.
Forget yeah. It. Okay.
How about something that's called the World Series?
That's just as bad.
Actually has like other representation from the world.
Hey the U.S. always wins the World Series. Always.
No, there's Canadian teams.
That's true. Oh boy. Okay. So
anyway, this is not a sports podcast. This podcast is all about Avengers.
No, I could totally rock a sports podcast, guys. I'm telling you.
You could not rock a sports podcast.
I could. I might
rock
start
to sleep maybe. Okay, so one
Eric's
more
guide
story
to sports.
In our new no Eric's guide
yes,
to sports.
Yes, Eric's guide to sports. You know the whole like for dummies series, like football for dummies. This would be football by dummies. See, it could work.
Written by Eric, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, moving right along. StarWars.com has a 5-minute excerpt up of the novel Canto Bight. I kept wanting to say Canto Bright, but it's not. It's Bite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yet another silly sounding name.
So now, 5-minute excerpt. Eric, you put this in the notes. Is it an audio clip or is it actually?
It's an actual audio excerpt. So the novel is an anthology of 4 different stories. This one is and it's by 4 different authors, but the stories are all interconnected. And of course, Canto Bight is the. I don't know if it's a casino planet kind of a la Coruscant or if it's just a casino city on whatever planet it's on. But Canto Bight is the casino region. And this particular story is the one by Ray Carson.
It's the sunny side of Hoth.
Yeah, where we never get to go. It's by Ray Carson. I did not listen to the clip yet. So I don't know which of the narrators did it. The narrators are Sean Kennan. Saskia Marleveld, yeah. Marleveld, Mark Thompson, and Jonathan Davis. And of course, Mark Thompson and Jonathan Davis are very, very well-known Star Wars narrators. But
and Saskia's a great narrator as well, too. She did one of the, which one she did? She did Inferno Squadron, I think, recently.
Oh, did
I
she?
I think so. She did one of the more recent books out, but I like listening to her. She's good.
Is she the one that does the Battlefront 2 game? Because whoever did the Inferno Squadron, I thought it was the same narrator who did the character's voice in the video game.
It could be.
No, that's Janina.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, the other authors are Saladin Ahmed, Mira Grant, and John Jackson Miller. And
I'm a big fan of John Jackson Miller.
It'll be coming out this year.
I like his stuff. Both his Star Wars and non-Star Wars stuff. He does really good stuff. I like him. Nice guy, too.
Yes. Yeah. So next Tuesday, very, very soon.
That's right. I keep thinking it's farther out than that, but that's awesome.
No. Yep. And then maybe we can finally get to talk about From a Certain Point of View.
Yes, we need to do that.
I'm ready whenever you are.
We absolutely need to do
that. We better not do it this episode.
No, it'll be too long.
We're at 45 minutes. Yeah, yeah. No, not this one.
I'm not ready like to just pull that out of my hat right now.
No, I need to think about Force too. But yeah, it's such an awesome book. It's just, I can't wait.
Don't troll me. Don't start. I know what you're doing.
What? No, it's awesome. It's great stories. It was
subtlety,
awesome.
Lou.
Okay, Eric, are you going to tantalize us with a fun fact this week?
Why, yes, I am. I'm glad you asked, because otherwise I would have forgotten all about it. So this is not going to be a trivia question. This is going to be from episode 8. And Tim, as you asked before the show started, well, how are we supposed to know what it is if it's from episode 8 and it's not even out yet? By listening to Echo Base Fun Facts. That's how you'll know. So I want to know, do you guys recall what those crystal foxes are called that we saw in the trailer?
Oh, gosh. I've heard this, and I don't remember.
I don't recall either. I just saw someone had a post on Instagram of a pin for them, too, and named them. I can't remember the name either.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice. When I first saw the video, I thought it was like a kind of a snow fox, like an Arctic fox or something like that. But apparently the story is that this planet that they inhabit is so crystalline that over the years they basically evolved to their bodies somehow acquired part of this crystalline structure. And so their fur is basically crystal. This is from the Entertainment Weekly article that I think the Entertainment Weekly issue just came out. I haven't read it. I did download it to my iPhone earlier today, so I think it is available. The creature is known as a Vulptex.
Yes.
V-U-L-P-T-E-X. A pack of them would be Vulptices.
Easier for you to say.
Yeah. Apparently, they were named by Pablo Hidalgo.
Okay.
And I forget where exactly the origin of the name came from, but it has something to do with, like, actual... It's a variation of, I don't know, like, the Latin word for fox or some silly thing like that. But anyway, so that is what those creatures are. They are known as Vulptices or a Vulptex. So there is your fun fact in advance of episode 8. Now you are more knowledgeable about episode 8.
Now I know what to call them when I see them on screen. Yes.
Exactly. Yes.
Awesome.
A vortex.
A vortex. Yes, that's what they are.
No, no.
Tell everybody you know they're called a vortex.
A velociraptor?
Yes. Multiples would be vortices.
Velociraptorises.
Yes. There you go.
Okay. Oh, boy.
You know, I don't know what else to do with the show. Lou, even with the sports discussion, we're still at like 45 minutes. How does this work?
I am okay with that. We went way over last week. If we want to end it here, we certainly can. If you had
we
discussion,
do have a listener feedback.
Oh, we do. Oh, okay.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Let's do that.
I make it sound like we never feedback. Hear from the listeners. Oh, my gosh. Someone wrote it.
We have a listener?
Wow.
And for our listeners out there, in case you haven't figured out, I mean, we do get a lot of feedback from a lot of different means. We get folks who respond to us on Twitter. We get obviously folks who are in our Slack channel giving us like a lot of like train of thought commentary and stuff, which is fantastic. And sometimes we read that. But the thing that actually sticks with us, so we hopefully try to remember, or at least I did this time, Lou and Eric epically failed you. Is if you send us an email. So if you shoot us an email to echobase@randomchatter.com, then that kind of stays with us, and one of us at least hopefully will remember that it's in our...
I didn't even see that bus coming. Did you, Eric?
No, I didn't. And by the guy that normally does the show notes
and does
these
things. Both
ways.
Yeah, I looked both ways.
Yeah, like, making it sound like it's something that we're supposed to do.
That's right.
Okay.
wow. So definitely if you send us an email, we tend to remember to include this a little bit more. Although all the other ways are still good. So we did get an email last week in response to Echo Base 120, which was the best trilogy idea ever, by the way. That's the Thrawn idea. Lucasfilm, thanks for that phone call. Oh, that may or may not have occurred. This email comes from David G. And he says, "Dear Echo Base, on the subject of taking risks when it comes to a new movie, let alone a new trilogy, I want to express some thoughts on this. What was it that made Star Wars such a phenomenon? The fact that no one has seen anything like it before. Despite the fact it alienated many fans, look at how many fans George Lucas gained by making the prequels. We're in danger of being in the situation so many long-running franchises find themselves in. That is the threat of treading along the same beaten path. The difference between us and many other science fiction is that we are not confined to a single planet, books written by a single author. We're not confined by a time period or a set cast. The prequels prove that, and I believe all the fans of The Old Republic prove that. He goes on to say a few more words. He gives some examples of things here and then closes out saying, without the risks of the prequels, there would be no Qui-Gon, no Mace Windu, no Coruscant outside the books. Think of all the characters and planets in the Clone Wars we would have missed if George Lucas had thought of the mainstream clueless crowd. Instead, he had only three characters we were familiar with, Yoda, Anakin, and Obi-Wan, and none were played by the original actors. He mentions that Palpatine doesn't count because since it's easy to realize that he's the future emperor, or not easy to realize that. He says, I really hope they come up with some original material. I believe it's the only way that Star Wars can survive and outlive all past and future franchises. Keep up with the great episodes. Listener David G. Thank you, David, very much for writing into us. And we had some of this discussion before. Chris was very big on mentioning and really advocating for Star Wars as a franchise to take more risks. And I think they absolutely need to do that. And it's a strange balance, I think, because we like the things that we are comfortable with and familiar with. Yet we also want to see some new stories and new tales and new characters and creatures and planets and all that good stuff. So I think Lucasfilm really needs to be able to strike that balance. And I'm pretty confident that they will. I'm just hoping that they don't err too much on the side of what's comfortable and do take some of those risks.
Well,
so guys, what do you think?
I guess I have a problem with a lot of people who, I don't have a problem with the people. I mean, everybody has a right to their opinion and I can understand where these people are coming from, but I vehemently disagree that The Force Awakens is just a ripoff of A New Hope. I feel like they have done something different. They have three lead characters who are all from minority groups. The Force wielder is female, and the two males are both of minority ethnicities. You have the killing off of one of the most beloved hero characters in modern fandom. I mean, the desert thing, again, I'm a little sick of the desert thing, and we've seen that before, but we saw all new alien races in the in Maz's cantina, which I actually have an issue with that. I kind of feel like, you know, why can't we still also see some of the races that we know are there? Why does it have to be like the complete opposite end of the galaxy? We don't have to always have an oversaturation of new alien races every time we walk into a bar somewhere. But right.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen a couple of familiar species.
Right. We have a villain who's young, not just as in age, but in his villainy, who used to be a hero. And we're watching someone go down the wrong path instead of observing someone who's already there. I kind of feel like there are a lot of things that they did differently. There were a lot of risks taken. And from everything that Mark Hamill has been saying, as well as a few other people, they're taking some serious risks in episode 8. So I mean, I agree with David. I kind of feel like they have been taking risks, and I agree with Chris that they need to, but I feel like they are moving down that road. And yeah, we had to have some throwbacks to make it feel like it's, you know, the Star Wars that we all know and love and part of this universe, because it's been a while. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time since 1983's Return of the Jedi. And yeah, we had the prequels, but we're not continuing from the prequels. We're continuing from 1983. So we get a little bit of an homage to that. Yep. But I feel like we have definitely moved forward. We definitely have new characters, new storytelling methods. And I'm content with that. As long as we continue to see the risks being taken, then I'm content.
Yeah. I mean, no matter what they do, they still have to have, it still has to look and feel like a Star Wars film. because if it doesn't, then it's not.
Right.
I mean, that's what we're drawn to. But yeah, there needs to be enough differences. And I agree. Episode 7 had, well, it did have some similar story beats, and that's what kind of got us drawn in. I think there were a lot of differences. And I'm sorry, Lou, you were going to say something, and I cut you off.
No, it's okay. I totally agree with Eric. I think that they are making strives to bring us new stuff and do new things. It may feel, you know, maybe it's paying homage to the first movie, but I don't think it's a copy. I mean, it's giving you enough stuff to make it feel like it's in the same world, in the same universe, in the same galaxy. I mean, I think that that's right. You can't make it all brand new without having anything as a throwback. Or else it does feel like the cantina in Maz's castle, as opposed to, you know, give me something. It's just, you can't have it all new without giving me anybody in there that we've seen before or any, you know, background in going into them a little bit more. That to me seemed like the only thing that was kind of a throwaway that they could have done more with, that they didn't take a big enough risk on.
Well, sure. In direct response to the points that David made, I think that, well, first of all, in regards to the Old Republic, I agree that you probably could just put something up in the crawl. You have to keep in mind that's for the people who are already in the theaters. So there's still the work of getting people to recognize and set their expectations properly before they go in and sit down, which is kind of what the discussions we had about that were more alluding to, I think. But yeah, you definitely could just set it up in the crawl, and I think you'd be okay. I agree with you. I just think that the Old Republic is so rich in world building, and much more so than what we already have, because part of what we already have is more established. The Old Republic, none of it's been touched outside of what little content we have. So to me, it feels like a television series where we've got hundreds of episodes, perhaps. I mean, that's a lot more hours of content than what we're going to see in a trilogy. And the other thing is, we did get something new. We did get new characters. And I think that Disney and Lucasfilm want to invest in those successful new characters that people have now become attached to. We haven't seen hardly anything of them yet. I really see them wanting to continue their story moving forward, even if it then spins off into stories of new characters. But we wanted new stuff, and we got it. Well, let's not just throw it away all of a sudden. Like, give me more Rey, give me more Finn and more Poe. We just got these new characters. They're still new. We don't need a refresh from them yet. They just got here.
Mm-hmm. Who's going to replace Han, though? Is it going to be Bucky or Falcon?
The other thing, moving right on past the constant request for Avengers 4 discussion. The other thing that's hard about this, David, is that with the advance of CG, it's really hard to bring anything new, because now it's a lot easier for people who aren't as innovative as Lucas had to be right at the beginning to bring their visions to the screen. In fact, now some people, if you're really good with Final Cut Pro or Adobe Premiere, After Effects, whatever, I mean, you can do your own compositing at home. You can kind of make your own movie to some extent. So then when you're looking at Hollywood, I mean, you can do stuff on a smaller budget that you could never do before. So now it's a lot easier to get whatever's in your head onto the screen. There are fewer and fewer new things just because we're getting a saturation of every idea that anybody has, they throw out there. Like, I'm thinking about my son. He doesn't, like, when I was growing up, we had G.I. Joe and Transformers and Star Wars. We didn't have the internet. Video games were just starting to come around. Like, the Atari 2600 had just started to hit homes. And our social networking and stuff, as, you know, an 6-year-old kid, an 8-year-old kid, was going outside and playing with the other neighborhood kids with toys and stuff. They don't do that these days because they don't, as you said, David, they don't have something that was so earth-shattering and changing as Star Wars was. Now they've got, you know, Skylanders, they've got Transformers, they've got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I mean, look at all the Michael Bay stuff that's in the theaters, let alone just, I mean, everything is some big budget sci-fi tentpole from Valerian to the Avengers, Tim.
Never heard of it.
It's all been done. I mean, not literally, and there will always be new ideas, but we're getting to a point of kind of saturation of, we've hit a plateau. And I think the next big thing that's going to hit us that really feels as innovative as Star Wars did was whatever the first truly immersive VR experience is going to end up being.
That's going to be mind-blowing.
A storytelling sort of a VR experience.
Mm-hmm. When that comes about, that's going to be amazing.
Wow, that's a lot of silence right
there. Okay, I'll throw one last thing. David, you want some stuff that nobody has seen before. I'm going to plug something from, not only is this person a Star Wars fan, this is a Star Wars creator. This is the writer and director of the Star Wars saga in 60 Minutes, originally Star Wars in 30 Minutes, Patrick T. Gorman. This is a novel, this isn't a movie, but check out Quentin McFury, The Last Defender. We had him on the Force cast, I don't know, a year or two ago. He's a great guy. It's a great story. It's more of a young adult novel, but it really has a new, interesting take on some of the sci-fi concepts he comes up with. They're still kind of, you know, just silly kind of space fantasy sort of things, but they are unique. They're things that we haven't seen before. So I know you can get the ebook for it. Quentin McFury, The Last Defender by Patrick T. Gorman. And Patrick, if you're listening, I hope you're doing well, man. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. We got to get you on the show again sometime.
Yeah, I agree. That was a good novel, though.
Yeah, it really was. And he's a great guy. And it's a great stage show, too. If you ever get a chance to see Star Wars Saga in 60 Minutes.
I really want to see it at some point, yeah.
Oh, it's worth going out of your way for. Yeah.
Well, cool. That does bring us to the end of another Echo Base. We're going to close the blast doors and shut things down for the week. In the meantime, if you have any questions for us, want to send us any feedback on the show, you can do so by sending us an email. And maybe we'll even read it on the air afterward. Send it to echobase@randomchatter.com.
You can also find us online, facebook.com/randomchatternetwork, or on Twitter @randomchatter. That's the account for the main network for this show. It's Echo Base Podcast. And then each of the hosts is on Twitter as well. I'm @EricBlythe. That's EricBlythe. Lou, where can we find you?
Just my name. It's Lou Secchi, LouSecki.
All right. And Tim, where can we find you on Twitter? Up, oh, Tim's giving it
he
to us in
me
Morse code.
The blast doors.
Wow.
what am I? Yeah, Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's.
Don't ask me. You make it sound like I follow you or something. I don't know. All right. You can find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com. We've got a couple of new shows hitting the network. So keep an ear to the ground and be sure to check those out as they start getting released, I think later this week, in fact.
Please spread the word and support us. We appreciate that. If you can tell friends, family, coworkers, neighbors, total strangers, guy on the street or gal on the street who you see wearing a Star Wars shirt or something, chances are they probably like Star Wars. Just making a guess. There is a chance they might not, but they probably do. Strike up a conversation. Talk about Star Wars. Talk about podcasting. Ask them if they listen to any Star Wars podcasts. And we definitely appreciate that you recommend the Echo Base podcast to them. You can also leave us some reviews on places where you listen to your podcasts, like iTunes, Stitcher. Click on all the stars. Write some great stuff about us. Write things about how, you know, Lou's cats are entertaining and that Eric doesn't have cats.
Yes.
We also appreciate some financial support. Patreon.com/randomchatter is the place to go to do that. That helps us keep the proverbial lights on, pays our web hosting fees and data storage, and for all of us to live in the lavish lifestyles that we do.
It covers the corporate jet, you know.
Wow. That's right. So patreon.com/randomchatter, you give to us, we give back to you. The foundational support is $1 a month. And that gets you exclusive access to our, what's that thing?
Slack.
Slack.
That thing is Slack. Yes. Our
That thing is Slack.
our communication community.
Yes. We talk to a lot of people on Slack. We have our hosts. We have some other staff. And we have a lot of great contributors. And we thank each and every single one of you, because without you, we probably couldn't do this thing. It would cost money. And
we're poor
doing it. So, yeah. So you basically, the folks who contribute to us by way of Patreon, you are our sponsors. And we greatly appreciate that. It does go up from there, from the dollar a month. You can go $5, $10, $15, et cetera. And each one of those levels, and you check us out, patreon.com/randomchatter, identifies what each one of those levels are, the perks that you get for giving to us. Gives you things like access to early access to shows, exclusive content, time hanging out with hosts, which is something we need to do. We haven't done that in a little while.
Trust us, your therapist will love the fact that we're hanging out with you.
Yeah. Yes. In fact, you might need more therapy. You will probably have to pull your Patreon donation to get more therapy, but we'll talk about that. Patreon.com/randomchatter. We greatly, greatly appreciate it. And, you know, we're expanding. So we're able to throw more content at you.
Yes. And hopefully we don't hit you right in the face with it, because that would probably hurt.
So. No.
A lot of it's soft, though.
It's soft, fluffy content, except when I swear and get really angry about change.org petition.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to have to start a change.org petition about your swearing.
Yeah, because then it's stabby and pointy and really mean.
All right. Well, the music you hear in this podcast is the Imperial March by Celldweller. That's at the beginning of the episode. And at the end of the episode, it is the Force theme by Scandroid. And you can find both of those anywhere great music is sold, such as iTunes or at Fixxt.com. That's Fixxt.com.
It's only in that order, though, if you listen to the podcast from beginning to end. If you listen to it from the end to the beginning, then that's reversed.
And also you hear satanic message if you do that too, so don't do that. Yeah. Okay,
Sith
guys.
Messages.
This Sith message. There you go.
Stick
yeah.
with the theme,
I'm
man.
I'm sorry. I don't know why I do that. I'm sorry.
You even mentioned like the cool, hey, we're going to close the blast, and then you go to satanic messages.
I know, right?
Took me right out of it. I can't see. I can't work like this.
No. Should we do the show over again? Should we start again?
I lost my inspiration.
I'm going to contact our HR department.
Oh, don't do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to get in trouble. Okay, on that note, I'm going to close this down real quick before I get into any more trouble.
Why is my phone ringing?
No, your phone's not ringing. Don't answer it. Don't answer it. The call's coming from inside the house, Tim. Don't answer that one. Okay, guys, we will come back at you in another week or so. Thank you very much.